Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Welcome once again to Whiskey Congress. We have another whiskey to review. We're recording a bit early this week, so we have to preempt that because in this day and age, you never know what the fuck's going to happen.
Right.
But our whiskey is 1776. 1776. You knew I was going to do that.
I did.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that.
Why don't you tell the people where that's from for those who don't know?
From Alex Jones, who, by the way, was removed from
everything.
Everything now.
I don't know where he is.
Honest to God, I got mixed feelings about that. But
I don't like it.
James E. Pepper Bourbon, 1776 Bourbon, 100 proof.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff's no joke. I would call it a classic bourbon. Nothing amazing about it, but solid. I give it an 88.
So I feel like they used a strong cherry mash with this.
All right.
And it reminds me of Jim Beam did. They did a blended, like a strong cherry mash a while ago, and I can't remember the name of it.
All right.
And it wasn't Jim Beam cherry, and maybe there's someone out there who drinks as much whiskey and as much Jim Beam as I have in my life who remembers it, but this reminds me of that, only stronger. The flavor profile on it, oddly enough, the name on it is James E. Pepper, and I'm picking up hints of pepper, and I don't think that's by accident.
It's not psychosomatic?
Right. And it's an interesting flavor profile. It's some of the stuff is hard to pick out because of the strength. Coming in at 100 proof, and so you do have a bit of a burn, but I do pick up on, a strong hint of cherry, a strong there's definitely some pepper on the back end, and then you do taste a little bit of the wood, and none of it is overpowering. And so what did you
rate? I gave an 88. It sounds like you're giving it more credit than that.
No, I think I just said it nicely. I had it at an 89.
Okay.
It's,
which is no disrespect, no, right?
Not a
89
bad.
Is a solid score.
No, it's not bad. It's too close to that Jim Beam, and I wish I could remember the name of it. I mean, that's really bad when you can't remember
the name of the whiskey.
Like, you're at just a point where your mental Rolodex is overflowing. But, and it's not bad, and we can sip on it. I mean, we probably won't go overboard. We both have flights to catch in the morning.
There's that.
So we need to be responsible.
We're both flying to Florida.
Grown-up adults, yes, but not together.
Not together.
For the same reasons.
Yeah.
But, oddly enough, we're both heading out, so We will not overindulge in, 1776, the birth of our nation and the rise of our freedom, but it's not bad, and if you see it, it's worth grabbing. It's a nice bottle. It displays well. It's got an old time feel to it. So there's that aspect of it, aesthetics. But that is our whiskey for today, October.
So he's the third. Wow.
Third. Way off.
Yeah.
But
text from a listener for saying, talking to us about last episode, and so
we're working on this episode.
So that was that.
He got me a little bit ago too. So,
okay.
So coming up, we're gonna kind of touch up where everything is with Kavanaugh right now, which is pretty much nowhere. Interesting article that came out in the New York Times on Donald Trump about his money. We'll get into that a little bit. Obviously, we're going to talk about Kanye West and his SNL meltdown that happened, a few hours after we recorded last week. Trump's, big presidential alert that came out on everybody's cell phone today, which, if you have a cell phone, you got it, as long as it wasn't a flip phone, I think. And that'd be interesting if you had a flip phone, if you did get that message. I don't know why you would not, but I don't know how it would go through, because I don't know how those things still work.
All right. I don't know either. It was just weird. People on Facebook saying they didn't get it. I'm like, okay, I don't know how you didn't.
Right.
Because both of my phones went nuts.
Yeah. Both. I mean, both mine went, you know, I had one in my pocket, one on my hip, and they both. So you really think something is going on. And I right. And then we will get a little bit into the NFL and where their ratings are and some of the explanations of that. Towards the end of the show. So,
all right, sounds good.
You know, stay tuned and sit back and relax and enjoy.
All right, so we covered the whiskey portion of the show. So Brett Kavanaugh, nothing has happened, right? I mean, the FBI investigation's going on.
FBI is investigating. We've had multiple senators say their piece on why they think this is the right move, why it's not enough, you know, and a lot of lip service. I don't know what this FBI investigation is supposed to turn up. You know, it was quite some time ago. Are you going to find witnesses that can corroborate her story or clear or, you know, back up what he's saying? I don't know. I feel like we're going to be in a pretty similar position at the end of this investigation as we were at the beginning. And so then it's just going to come down to, you know, who wants to... You know, who on the Democrat side wants to break ranks, if anybody, or who on the Republican side wants to break ranks, if anyone, and if there's, what sort of response do our senators have, you know, who are going to be voting on this? What kind of response do they have, you know, to the pushback from the Me Too movement? How do they receive Dr. Ford, who's a woman who's been, who's claiming to have been sexually assaulted? And, you know, what is their response to Judge Kavanaugh, who came out and, you know, reacted vehemently against those claims? And, you know, what's everybody's response? That's what we're waiting on.
You know, did you happen to see the Saturday Live bit with Matt Damon?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not using that to do anything other than judge it for being funny or not funny.
And well, you're a comic. So you judge,
I am a comic.
You judge comedy.
I do. And I thought, from a comedic standpoint, it was hilarious. I thought, you know, first of all, Matt Damon comes out, and the crowd goes nuts because Matt Damon's doing the Saturday Night Live bit. And when he was going, and me, and Squee! it was so funny to me.
I like beer.
I like beer.
I like beer a lot.
And I boofed.
Right.
Anyway, it was funny.
What was he calling the one guy? Like, Donkey Hung Doug.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it was Donkey Hung Doug. And listen, I thought
it was funny.
And this is the frustrating thing, right? You know, Trump comes out and criticizes Saturday Night Live failing rating, blah blah blah. His whole thing. Anyone who criticizes him, the ratings are failing, or their numbers are failing. Anyone in his administration, anytime they say the New York Times, it's almost, I think it's mandatory that they say it's prefaced by the failing New York Times.
Right.
Right. Like, well, you've been in office for a couple of years and they're still there, but okay, fine. And we know their numbers are trash because all of them,
all other newspapers than, are numbers
except
are
for
trash.
The Washington Post, and that's because they're posted up by Jeff Bezos, right?
Right.
Who, and Amazon, which is worth $1 trillion, which is insane. But, I thought it made me laugh. There are multiple points in time where it made me laugh. I thought the point where, you know, they're talking about the female prosecutor. She's like, you can just call me prosecutor. Or it's just like, why am I sitting here on this baby desk? I don't know. But anyway, let me proceed. And they kept cutting her off. And I mean, again, it's art mimicking life. If you watch the actual hearing, and if you could do it objectively, which, you know, there's not much of that anymore, whether you're rooting for Kavanaugh or rooting for the Democrats or just rooting for whatever you're rooting for, right? There were things that if you can step away from your, you know, your soapbox that you're standing on for either side, and you just watch that hearing in real time, there had to have been things where you're just like, what is going on right now?
Yes.
Right. I mean, everything from that ridiculous look that Cory Booker does give when he just feels indignant, like, and, you know, I mean, Lindsey Graham's meltdown, like, I don't care if you're a Republican, his meltdown was ridiculous. Right. I mean, it's just like, and I get it. That's how he felt. And yeah, that's how he felt. And it was very passionate, but it was also ridiculous, right? Like, I mean, this is a Senate Judiciary hearing. And, right. I mean, like, let's have some composure. Even Kavanaugh's responses, you know, all those sort of things. Whether, and again, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, like, those are things, like, I mean, we've made fun of our politicians. You know, there's been plenty of people on SNL who have made fun of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and George W. Bush and regular Bush, you know.
Regular Bush. Take a moment.
Bush, you know, Bush won. You know, there have been people who have made fun of Carter and all the politicians. So, I mean, everyone takes their licks. And if you're going to sit there and say, oh, Donald Trump's getting it more, he's putting more material out there. It is what it is. You know, I mean, sorry. Your guy likes to be the center of attention, and he likes to put on a show. This is what happens. Sorry, you know, he gets made fun of. Oh, my God.
One good point I thought was made on multiple, you know, things I listened to is, had Dr. Ford been as emotional as Brett Kavanaugh, she would be getting dragged over the coals for being so emotional.
Right. Well, she's still getting dragged over the coals for not being emotional enough.
And, yeah.
And,
I mean,
you know, her emotions teetering back and forth, and you know, it was a no-win situation for either person. It's still tough because again, she's bringing up allegations from 30 plus years ago. There's a lot of questions as to, you know, why she didn't report. And, you know, you and I have been back and forth through that whole thing.
Oh, yes, we have.
and so we don't need to, you know, relitigate everything that we already went through. But it was a no situation for either of them. I think in our last episode, I laid out how I thought Kavanaugh could have got out ahead of this. And I just want to clarify what I was saying. It's not that I personally feel that the right thing for Kavanaugh to do for the sake of justice and all things holy was to admit what he did and apologize to Dr. Ford. I'm looking at it as if I am a strategist and I'm saying, if we want to move this forward and we want to get the win, right? We want to get the W, we want to, right. You know what I mean? We want to advance the ball. Then I think this is the tactic that we use. Now, every red-blooded American white male who doesn't identify himself as, you know, a progressive liberal feminist, that makes their blood boil. You know, like, you don't agree with that necessarily. You know, our buddy Mike Wood doesn't agree with that. Like, how could you tell him to admit something that he didn't do? You said you didn't agree with me.
I don't.
Right. Okay. But I'm saying... Like, and everybody, you all have your reasons why, and I get that, right? And that's clearly the White House and Brett Kavanaugh and all his, everyone's, that's they're saying what I'm doing or what I'm suggesting is not the plan, right? You guys are all saying deny, 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 and be as indignant as you want to about it. Okay, fine, guys, but look where that's gotten you, right? And this may still end with him being confirmed. Right, like the approach that they've taken may still end with him being confirmed. All I'm saying is, my approach, I believe, moves this along faster, gets him confirmed, right, with a whole hell of a lot less of all of this. Right, I firmly believe it. Now, I think the Democrats and the progressive left, we're going to try to make this a shitstorm no matter what, because they don't like, they're beside themselves over the fact that Trump may get to appoint three people to the Supreme Court,
which is
we've talked about the possibility.
Yes.
We know he's got two, right? He got Gorsuch, you know, he's got Kavanaugh. And listen, if Kavanaugh is not confirmed, he's still got to replace Justice Kennedy,
right?
So he's going to have two people on the Supreme Court, you know, and what Democrats are hoping for is to stall till midterms, hope that they flip, you know, the House and the Senate, in this case specifically the Senate, so that there's no chance that anyone that he puts in, unless it's someone that they like, gets through. That's the real play here, right? I mean, as much as a lot of people want to make it about Me Too and sexual harassment and women's rights and women and all that stuff, which is all very important, ultimately there is a game called politics being played right here, right now. And the Democrats are fighting and clawing because we're a month away from voting for, you know, senators and congressmen and everything else. If we could just somehow stall it out until then. and hope that all our polls that we commission that say we're doing awesome, we hope they all magically come true, then we can flip the Senate, and then we now it doesn't matter because Kavanaugh won't get confirmed because he won't have he. There's no way he'll be able to get the votes.
Do you, so from a political political strategy standpoint, do you think the Democrats are playing this smartly? Because I don't see a win here for Democrats. I don't see you're not even if you don't let Kavanaugh get confirmed. To me, again, completely outside my personal political opinions, you're not stopping Trump from getting this seat filled, whether it's Kavanaugh or some other extreme right. I mean,
if you flip the Senate, you do.
But you can't stop it, Steve, can you? I mean,
because it's got to be voted on by the Senate. And if you've got a majority of Democrats who either aren't going to give you a vote or are going to vote your guy down, he's dead in the water. Right? And unfortunately, what the Democrats are saying is, listen, if we can flip the Senate in 2000, if we can flip everything in the midterms, then that means we could flip everything in 2020.
2020 is a whole different ballgame.
I fully agree. And if you're that vehemently opposed to the person to any person going forward that you believe that Trump is going to put in the Supreme Court, then they are playing the long game, right? They're playing the only game that they can play. Like, they don't have the numbers to do anything else. So the only thing that they can do is hope that they can pull some Republican senators on their side who know what's at stake. And because there's some Republican senators who are looking at this and saying, well, if I go with the Democrats on this and I push against Kavanaugh, then maybe that saves my seat in 2018, in 1 month. You know, I mean, like, all these things are at play. Like, this is as much as the, you know, super activist and the you know, strong-hearted feminists want this to be about sexual harassment and women's rights. For the people in Washington, this isn't about that. This to them, this is about being reelected. And what do they need to say and what do they need to do to either gain power or keep power? Right? And it just so happens that it's in the form right now of sexual harassment. But this is all about power. This is all about manipulating resources and getting what you want, right? Like, it always is. And that's what you have to boil it down to, which is why, you know, I kind of got attacked for the whole thing, you know, from mostly conservative white dudes, you know, or people who, you know, think that this is, it's all the bull. Like, yeah, that's what this is. It's a game they're pushing, and I get it. This is real life, and people's lives are at stake, and our union is at stake, and all that other stuff. But okay, that doesn't change the fact that people are still, like, the very people you're talking about, Brett Kavanaugh, Donald Trump, and all of those people are still playing this like a game.
So if I'm putting
my strategist hat on, then I am putting that hat on as a strategist, and the strategy to me that may help move this along would have been for him to just step up and own it, knowing that statute of limitations has run its course, so there's no criminal aspect of this, and you step up, you own it, and you don't completely own it and say, yeah, I did it, I totally remember it, I was wasted and I just wanted some ass and I tried to finger bang her through her clothes, sorry. No, you don't do that. You have to come much softer and say, listen, I this could have happened. I did drink a lot. I may have blacked out that night. It was 30 years ago. I honestly don't remember. And if it did, I'm very sorry. I'm sorry for the pain it's caused. I went through the whole thing, and that's how you do it. That's all I'm saying. That's the strategy. That's the move that you make. Now, if you disagree because you don't think it'll work, okay, fine. Because I'm not saying this that he needs to believe it and it needs to be done because that's the right thing to do. I'm just saying I think it's the right thing to do if you want to win. I'm not trying to cleanse anybody's soul. I don't really give a shit if I'm a strategist. If you're paying me to get you to the next level, if you're paying me to get you to the next level, I'm going to, you know, like, look at it this way. I'm a coach. Every other coach, if you're the Browns versus the Raiders, a lot of coaches would have punted, right? And made the team
you're
drive.
Going personal now.
Like, well, like Hugh Jackson did, right? If that's me, I'm saying you go for it on fourth down. The move here is to go for it on fourth down is just to fucking own it. And the best defense is the best offense. So you take away their threat, right? You know,
that's what I'm saying. Honestly, what you're really describing to me is exactly what Arnold Schwarzenegger did when he ran for governor of California. He just said, where there's smoke, there's fire. If I offended you, I apologize. You know, and it pretty much went away. I mean, it became pretty clear Schwarzenegger was grabbing asses and doing shit he shouldn't have been doing. And he just kind of semi-owned it. And apologized without owning any of it specifically.
Blamed it on his gap-toothed Austrian charm. You know, it was a different time then. He went to all that, right? I mean, it was a different time then, and blah blah blah. And I just was under the, you know. So if X, Y, and Z happened, I do apologize. I can't think, you know.
Right.
I'm a big Hollywood star. I've been around and all those.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And
right. I mean,
apologize.
And so you own it, and you own it partially. And what it'll do is it'll piss people off, but they won't have the same amount of ammunition.
Like that, though.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Again, it's a strategy, folks. Right? Like, I'm not talking about people's souls, and I know people really want to dig into it. And that is for somebody else to do. I'm not worried about fucking souls. Again, I'm worried about wins. So if you want to win, that's how you win.
Sorry. All right. Before we've beaten this into the ground as far as I'm concerned. One of the big things that came out.
There was a teenage masturbation joke in there, but I just couldn't get it out.
Thank you.
Enough.
Thank you. Sorry. For not. And
what? There was. I mean, right. I had a,
no one wins with those jokes. Teenage masturbation jokes never win. All right. So before we get into your boy Kanye West, which I cannot wait to get to, Trump is being alleged or being accused by the New York Times of tax evasion, fraud, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, it's the New York Times, or as you call it, the failing New York Times. I don't know where this is going to go. Frankly, I think
it'll
go nowhere.
It's not going anywhere.
Okay, that's probably right. But it's worth mentioning, right?
First of all, from a federal standpoint, in the IRS, the statute of limitations is passed. So the IRS isn't going to be like, oh, shit, you owe us however many millions of dollars in back taxes. Nope, sorry. Not going to happen. It's not.
I don't even know what the statute of limitations is, to be honest with you. Probably 7 years, because that's what it is for most things.
It's. I believe it's longer. I think it's like, you know, 20 or 25 years.
Okay.
Either way, it's passed.
Okay.
You know, for some of this stuff, right? So it's not going anywhere from a legal standpoint. I think a lot of this stuff, a lot of people have assumed. This confirms it, but this doesn't. This thing from the New York Times changes no one's mind about Donald Trump. Whoever is out there right now that's reading this, they've already got their opinion on Donald Trump one way. There are very few people who are going to read this and say,
oh my goodness,
my Lord. Well, if I would have known this, I would have voted for Hillary. How many people are going to read the New York Times, that article about Trump's dad and his siblings transferring money to him when he was 2 years old? Like, who's going to read that and say, well, this changes everything, right?
You're
no
right.
No
you're
one's
right.
reading right. that and saying it. I mean, okay, you put it out there. I mean, could it have an impact on people? This is where it could have an impact. People who really dislike Trump. But
dislike Hillary enough that they didn't come to the polls.
Right, but aren't motivated enough to vote. And they see something like this and say, I knew he was dirty. I can't stand that guy. I'm going to go, okay, so maybe it does. But I think that's such a very
Voter turnout's a big deal.
Voter turnout is a big
deal. Especially
in 2018. But, I mean, I think it's a small percentage of people. But I do think, I don't know if it's enough to move the needle. Now, if you look at the grand scheme of things, the way Trump won, I mean, he'll tell you he won by a landslide, but when you look at the actual numbers, you know, you get some more people to vote out, you get more people to vote in some of the states that he won, maybe things shake out different. I don't know, and I didn't articulate those last couple sentences very well. I don't think there's enough people who are going to shift their opinion on Trump because of this New York Times article where it matters. I think most people have made their decision on him. This isn't going to change it. There's some interesting stuff in there. Is it money laundering? You know, is it illegal? I mean, you know, but I don't think this is, I mean, people in the political world, you know, the pundits and the reporters are, you know, people who are against Trump are losing their shit and saying, see, look at this, look at this. The supporters and the people, they're saying it's a nothing burger. And they're right. It's not. You can't do anything about it. And two, whether you voted for him or you didn't, I got to believe that none of this is a surprise. Right, this is not surprising anybody. Right, there's no one who's looking at this and saying, "Oh my God, that's shocking."
Well, I mean, the fact that he got through the process of the election without revealing his tax returns is amazing.
But I mean, there was nothing requiring it. That's where it stops.
Okay, but no one else has ever gotten to that point without doing it, and it would typically be a...
And this is what happened. He said, I don't want to do it. Do I have to do it? And I'm sure he probably paid roughly $1 million for a team of lawyers to say, you don't have to. And he said, all right, well, I'm not. What's the worst that could happen? And they said, well, legally, nothing.
And if you believe what I believe, that he didn't actually want to win, then he has absolutely nothing to lose.
So I mean, it's interesting to read. It's worth reading. It's very long. It's very detailed. It's very interesting. And if you have, you know, a fair amount of money, maybe you can pick up some pointers on how to make sure that your children end up very wealthy. But also, if you have that type of money, then I'm going to need you to go ahead and send a little bit to, you know, the Steve and Jim email PayPal account.
Right.
Boost us up a little bit.
We haven't pushed that in a long time.
I know. All right. But still, I mean, if you got people looking at the New York Times article trying to boost their kids, then help us out.
Yeah. On a total different avenue, Kanye West was on Saturday Night Live.
Not that different.
It's not that different. So, you know, so Kanye is getting a ton of abuse for supporting Trump. And we've gotten some feedback about, you know, why he shouldn't be getting that. And I'll give Kanye credit's the wrong word. I'll defend him a bit and say, you know, if you think that fighting Trump is the wrong way to go and that you'd be better off, you know, being nice to the guy and seeing what happens, fine. But if you get dressed up in a Perrier bottle, did you see this?
Yes.
It was fucking crazy. Steve, I watched it after the fact, so I did not see it on Saturday Night Live.
Neither did I. I saw it after.
I thought I was watching a spoof.
I had people, like, you know, my teammates and roommates from college texting me, like, yo, what is happening right now? You're like, your boy, and he's my boy because he's from the Midwest, right? Like,
right. He's a rapper from the Midwest.
I'm from Northeast Ohio. He's from Chicago, right? But they're all East Coast, Philly, New York, New Jersey, everything in between. So he's my boy.
He's all yours as far
right?
as
I'm concerned. Which was fine like 5 albums ago, right? Like, that was a very fine designation. Yes, Kanye is my boy. But now it's like, mostly because the music has fallen off. But... I don't know what the fucking Perrier bottle thing was. Whoever you are that's listening, that wants to, like, if we want to talk about Kanye's politics, that's different. I am literally talking about this man dressing up in a Perrier bottle.
Next to a yogurt bottle or whatever fuck that was. I don't even know what it was.
I don't know what he was trying to convey. Like, listen, he hasn't... That's not transcending...
And that song is all about, you know, female sexual...
It's not about Perrier soda water.
Not to my knowledge.
I don't know. I don't know. Does Kanye use Perrier to gargle? I don't know.
He can if he wants.
I guess we all could, really.
Yes, we all could.
Perrier is not expensive, right?
It's not that bad.
I don't know.
It was nuts.
It was wild. Like, why? Bro, like, I didn't, because I didn't see it live, and I'm getting text, your boy Perrier, what the fuck? And I'm like, my boy who? What's wrong with Perrier? I like Perrier.
Yeah.
Especially when they started to flavor it. So I'm not understanding what the beef is. And then the text chain goes way, way, way off, right? And then it comes back around. So, like, and I had to bring it back around. Like, why the fuck did this even start? What are you talking about? What, who, which, like, I thought they were talking about my boy, like, someone that we played with, right?
Or, right,
you know,
right.
Someone in the circle, and then
I'm glad this happened to you. Not to be an asshole.
Right. Well, and then all I got was they sent me a picture of a screenshot of one of their screens of Kanye in a Perrier bottle, and my reply.
I don't know where this is going.
My actual reply to the group chat was, "What the fuck did you just send me?" And there was like, I got no response for, I didn't get a response for a day, right? And then so because I didn't get a response for a day, I had to go figure it out. And that's how I actually saw the performance and then saw his rant and the whole thing. And it just, I don't know what I still don't know what the Perrier bottle is. And
okay.
I don't
know. You
have
make
an
fun
for
of me
it.
All the time for not getting hip-hop/rap related
yes.
stuff, and I typically don't. I'll own the fact that I typically don't. This one I was watching going, if this is supposed to make sense to me, then I'm out.
Someone put on somewhere on social media a picture of Kanye in this fucking Perrier bottle styrofoam suit, and it was and then next to him was a picture of Notorious Big, and the quote was, how the fuck did y'all let this happen? Right? Like, it was coming out of Big's mouth. And I
you called it Big, not B.I.G.? I thought it was B.I.G.
Man, just... What,
okay,
Jim,
whatever.
Stop.
I thought I was allowed to do this. All right.
You called... Yes. Notorious Big, Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls. He couldn't use Biggie Smalls because of, you know, legal reasons, all that. I mean, Christopher Wallace. He's got multiple names, right? You know, some even call him the GOAT. So
East Coast.
Any number of names.
Fair. How the fuck happened?
How did we get here? How did hip hop get here? And that is a question. And unfortunately, that is a question I ask more and more frequently as, you know, the state of hip hop is what it is. And this kind of, this is wild. I mean, this has nothing to, listen, even if he were still stomping hard for Obama, or if he was, you know, a progressive, liberal, Democrat, whatever, you show up on Saturday Night Live in a fucking Perrier bottle, whether you're from Chicago, New York, even if he were from fucking Vermont, there would be questions as to what in the fuck is going on. And so... I have no answer for you.
Okay.
I don't know.
As non-hip hop getting it white guy, I am not wrong. Saying,
no, you're not.
What the fuck?
Not this
here?
Time, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
Not this time.
Thank man. You. I'm sure I will be in the future.
Now,
but this
regarding Kanye's politics.
All right.
This is what I'll say. I don't really give a shit that he's supporting Trump. It's fine. Like, if you're black and you want to support Trump, okay. I'm not gonna beat you up over it. There's no reason for me to.
You've met him, right?
I did.
Okay, I was saying you ran into him on a plane years ago.
Yes.
Okay. You're talking about this on, I think, on our old show.
Yes. And he's an interesting guy.
You've said so. Okay.
My issue with Kanye is that he openly admits that he doesn't know history. He openly admits that he doesn't read. You know, like he openly admits that he gets his news from headlines. He, you know, what maybe he'll watch a YouTube video here or there, and he's got a few people around him who they know a little bit more than he does, and that is a very, very low bar, right?
Okay.
He's talked through his music, and he's talked over time about how, you know, he's not higher education guy, you know, his frustrations with college and everything else. And I get it, right? Like, your school's not for you. You're artistic and you're and so run with it. But if you're not going to take any time whatsoever to not even, and listen, we can't, not everyone can sit there and dig into every issue and every, you know, socioeconomic, political data point to be able to argue everything. And the people who do are people who are going for their PhDs. That's just, I mean, those are the people who can, who, I mean, that you literally are going to school to process large amounts of data, and that's what you do. Okay, great, fine. The average citizen, the average working person, whether you're working a 9-to-5 or you're a, you know, a hip hop star or a you know, independent contractor or whatever you are, you're on your other hustle and you don't have time to sit there and do a ton of research and have footnotes and all that stuff. I get it. So I don't necessarily need him to be a historical scholar. But with his voice and with the platform that he has, with the influence that he has, I would appreciate it if he did dig a little bit more than he does, right? Like, he says these things that he believes are very profound, right? But they're not. Like, he put out a tweet, and it's very simple. He put out a tweet where he said, I believe we should abolish the 13th Amendment, right? And he said, I abolish the 13th Amendment. Now, what he meant was amend the 13th Amendment, right? And I believe what he wants to amend is the but clause that basically says no slavery except for if you're in jail, then you could be an indentured servant, you know, as a prisoner, right? So a lot of people feel that we should get rid of that clause of the 13th Amendment. I don't know many people who actually know that that part of the 13th Amendment exists who believe that it should still be there. And that part of the 13th Amendment goes a long way to making the connection between where we got, you know, where we came from with slavery, and now the fact that we have these private prisons that are making the money that they're making, you know, the war on drugs, the, you know, criminal industrial you know, I mean, just everything that goes along with it, right? So my issue is that it's like Kanye overheard a conversation about this once, and then he goes out there and says, this is what I think about it, right? And so he says, I think we should abolish the 13th Amendment. What he probably meant was amend. He went back, you know, shortly thereafter and says, well, I didn't mean abolish, I meant amend. Now, people are attacking him because he said abolish, but then, you know, he said amend, and then they're saying, well, it doesn't matter. You said abolish, and you don't know, and you won't abolish the ending of slavery, which means you want slavery back. And they're completely misframing his thought process. Yep. But to my point is that if he reads a little bit, right, if he spends a little bit of time, right, looking into these sort of things and researching a little bit more, you got plenty of money, right? Like, you got plenty of money and you got time. So figure it out. You know, articulate what you want to say a little bit better. Right? Now, you and I do this podcast, and there are times where we say things and we don't necessarily say them the clearest, or we don't say exactly what we want to say, or we say something and it comes out bad and we get called out for it. So then we go back and we change it. I get it, right? So I get to a point where, as a person who, there are constantly people sticking a microphone in his face or a camera in his face, and he says something really quick and off the cuff, it gets taken out of hand or taken out of context, and then it gets kind of manipulated, and then everybody attacks him, right? Like, that's part of his problem, right? It's just that, you know, like, one, it's just the amount of access that people have to him, that causes the problem. But at the same time, he often puts himself in these situations. You know, when he said slavery was a choice, he walked into TMZ, right, and just starts ranting. That's on him. Right, like, so before you walk into TMZ and decide that you're going to say something like slavery is a choice, where I think I, again, understand what he's saying, but in this day and age, you're not going to get credit for what you mean to say. Your intended
point.
Right, your intended point.
The soundbite wins.
Right, like, you have to come correct. And he didn't. He didn't then in TMZ. He didn't when he said you should abolish the 13th Amendment. He's not, I don't think he's presenting himself well when he's talking about being dragon blood brothers with Donald Trump and his divine energy and all that other shit. Like, he's not presenting himself well. And that's because he's not taking the time to learn and to think about what it is he wants to say. You know, he approaches his political rants like a freestyle hip-hop battle. And those two things don't necessarily go together at all.
I'm not going to argue with that. The whole thing on Saturday Night Live was just funny to me. But it's also, to a degree, I think we're probably going to say the same thing here, that the way he's being, you know, dragged through the mud over wearing a MAGA hat and doing all that stuff, you know, just because he doesn't say what I want to hear and you want to hear, doesn't mean he shouldn't say what he's, you know, if he really believes that siding with Trump and...
You know what the frustrating thing is? It's not that he's not saying... It's how he's articulating it.
Okay.
He's articulating his points poorly. And if he just could articulate them a little bit better, I don't think he's actually that far off the mark. But his ability to take his thoughts and transform them into words in this forum... It's just not working. It's not going well. And that's where, if you want to have those conversations, I'm not going to say that you have to have a college degree, a master's degree, a law degree, or a PhD. But you do need to spend some time in these circles with these people and have these debates, you know, with people who are on a higher intellect than yourself, so that you can hear yourself say something stupid, hear it refuted, right? Which is, and by refuted, I mean you can hear someone completely...
Criticize, right?
No, disprove what you're saying, okay. Right? Not only just criticize it, but actually criticize it and prove it to be wrong, right? And then you have to be mature enough to accept that and say, oh, yep, you know what? I threw that out there. Own it that you threw it out there, that was bullshit, it was off the cuff, you heard it here, you heard it there, or you just didn't know. And then you go back, you figure out why what you said was wrong, or why it was inaccurate, or you go back and you say, you know what, that person was full of shit. They actually don't know what the fuck they're talking about, or they're actually wrong about this particular issue. I was right. And to be able to go back and say, you know, but he can't do any of that on any level. Right, and that's where the issues, my particular issues with Kanye come, right? If you're Candace Owens and you firmly believe, like, okay, fine, great, whatever. I don't necessarily support her. I don't disprove her. And if you're gonna tell me that I should be, you know, bowing at her feet, fuck you. I'm not bowing at anybody's feet. You know, I didn't do it to Obama. I'm not doing it to her. I'm not doing it to Trump. I'm not doing it to anybody. You know, I'm gonna take you for what I believe that you're worth. And so that's kind of how we should all approach this. These people who are head over heels in love with Trump just because he's Trump and he says semi-racist things, and you could say semi-racist things, kind of ridiculous. The people who are in love with Obama just because he was a black president, pretty ridiculous. You know, I mean, like, so...
And the same with Kanye.
The same with Kanye, right? Like, I mean, we just need to hold these people to a higher standard, which means that we can praise them and criticize them literally in the same breath. Hey, this thing that you did was good. This thing that you said was pretty fucking terrible, right?
Okay, I agree with all that. Kanye, it's funny to me how polarizing he is, and how he's such an egomaniac that when whether it's Taylor Swift or George Bush or Barack Obama or Donald Trump, his self-importance is funny to me, because
he named one of his albums Yeezus.
Okay.
Which is a play on his name and Jesus.
Okay. So, I did not know that, which will not shock you.
Doesn't shock me. But I mean, if that isn't the kind of, you know,
idea that doesn't frame
in Webster's dictionary the definition of narcissism, I don't know what is.
That's pretty close. All right, so what were you doing at 2:18 today?
I was standing in a, you know, potential future project of ours, and waiting on an elevator, and I've got a phone in my pocket, a phone on my hip. The coworker that I'm with has two phones on him. And between us, we have four phones that are losing their shit, and we have no idea what's going on, right? I mean, it just, like, so we're both looking, I'm like, what the fuck is this? And come to find out, it was a presidential alert.
Did you know there was such a thing as a presidential alert before today? Because I didn't.
Allegedly, I guess there was something in the media that this was going to happen. I never saw it. I never saw it. I never picked up on it. Everybody, you know, there were a couple people that kind of, you know, said, hey, this is coming. I didn't know. I didn't know.
And so I have been accused by a few people of having TDS or borderline TDS, a.k.a. Trump derangement syndrome. I've never been shy about the fact that I'm not a fan of the 45th president. But I don't particularly criticize Trump for this. Having said that, it was so weird because my phone, so I've got a tablet and two phones that all responded to this. So I'm doing my thing. And all of a sudden, there's beeps going on everywhere. And I grab my phone and it says, this is a presidential alert. No action is necessary. And I'm going to play the card that I fucking hate when other people play and say, if this had been an Obama thing, the right wing would lose their fucking mind. They would go nuts claiming presidential overreach and all the other stuff. Now, I'm not going
to... I don't know
if it's you fair do. To say that.
They would go
fucking crazy.
I don't know. I mean, listen, people are making fun of this. You know, there was a thing on Bleacher Report about the athlete, or maybe it wasn't even on Bleacher Report. I think it was Wired. On, you know, people in sports and their responses to this, which some of them were pretty funny. Pretty funny. Others were kind of lame. But I don't know if this... I mean, maybe people... I don't think that this is the sort of thing that Democrats would... Or conservatives would have lost their mind over.
I disagree. I think...
I don't know. I mean, sure, it was Obama. Yes, I'm sure they would have said something. But I think it would have been to the same level as what we saw today from people. I mean, because there was a response. On Twitter, there was... I mean, it was instantly a hashtag.
Right.
And there were a million tweets. But it's dead. Right? I mean, like, we're recording this episode on Wednesday. It happened today. By the time we release this, people are going to forget that it had happened. So let's not overinflate the response that existed today and conflate a response that never happened and start, you know, basically attacking people saying, if this, then that whole thing. Come on, let's be mature about this.
Maturity is not my strong suit.
True that.
All right. So since we're not going to be mature, let's talk some football.
Yes.
Are you ready for some football?
Always.
The Buffalo Bills stink, and I'm prepared.
Apparently the Steelers stink right now.
They actually do. Frankly, brother.
Why don't you shut the fuck up about that? Hey.
Now it's getting ugly. I wish people could see how the volume of... The Steelers stink. They do. I'm sorry, brother. You feel my pain. Because you had a team that had expectations. Oh, look, if you see the anger. Oh, the anger is there.
Okay. All right.
Are you ready?
We are what our record says it is. So
we are what we thought they were.
You are correct. My team that I cheer for in the NFL isn't very good right now. It's only a quarter of the way through the season. Things can change.
Right? Fair.
There's more. There's a better chance things change for the better for my team than they are for your team.
That is true. I entered the season with lower expectations than you did.
A little bit.
All right, so I'll stop being a dick for at least 30 seconds, maybe 45.
Not possible.
45 seconds. I think I hold over 45 seconds. Oh, did you just break something?
I thought I did, but I didn't.
Okay, sorry. Good.
I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to hear that, but okay.
Anyway. All right. So the whole NFL ratings thing has been an issue, and frankly, it hasn't. In fact, I was listening to Breitbart, so I was out on my project in New Jersey last week, listening to Breitbart in the morning, which I do most mornings. I flip between CNN, MSNBC, Breitbart, and and Patriot and POTUS on Sirius Satellite.
Cut out CNN and MSNBC.
No.
Breitbart, POTUS, and Urban View.
All right. Well, I do listen to Urban View as well. And so I was on Breitbart, and they were talking about how the fact that, well, you know, NFL ratings have plummeted, but not really, because they really haven't.
Right.
Because let's face it, the NFL has its ratings because we as Americans love the NFL. It's just true.
American pie, kids. But I mean, here, this is there's a better argument to be made. Listen,
good because I
which,
mean, no,
which well no you're not well I'm here's sincere. The thing. So NFL ratings to a degree have dropped, but the problem is that NFL ratings are still the NFL still does monster numbers over everything else, right? Literally everything else. The number like even if you took the local ratings just for Cleveland Browns games, the Cleveland right. Browns are 233-1 over the last 2 years. Right, which means they've only won two games, they've lost 33, and they tied one. Right,
I think I got the math right.
Either way, they're not good. They're a very bad team, but they still do better ratings than anything else on television. Right, like that's just
in that time slot.
Amongst most demographics, and the numbers are going down. They absolutely are. There is a decline in the number of people that are watching on network TV, right? Now, the key there is what I said is number of people watching on network TV, right? Because that's how we define our ratings. That's
what we measure ratings, right?
Right? Now, our buddy, Mike Wood Jr., brought this to our attention a while ago talking about President Trump and his inauguration, right? And talking about words and words matter, right? President Trump said, more people watch my presidential nomination, inauguration than any other president before, right? And Mike pointed out the fact that that's true, right? There may have been physically more people at Obama's inauguration, but in terms of people who watched, there were more people who watched President Trump's, not because all the Americans love President Trump so much that they all flipped on their TV and they all flipped them to channels to watch the inauguration at the same time. No, it's because we have, you know, so many more people were allowed access based off of YouTube and all these different streaming services, people around the world. So that number will continue to increase as access to these different, you know, modes of these different modes of entertainment present themselves, right? Whether it's YouTube or Periscope or whatever online ability to watch things on TV happen. Well, the NFL is no different. So what's happening is that ratings, again, are based off of what people watch on network TV, right? The Nielsen ratings, and they plug into a certain percentage of the cable boxes. And that's how they figure out who is watching what. Well, the NFL has finally, over the last couple of years, they're doing deals with Yahoo, they're doing deals with Verizon, they're doing deals with Sprint, and saying, okay, the people who pay for your service can now access, because before all you could do was watch the NFL on network TV or through Sunday Ticket on DirecTV. Right, that was it. That was the only way you could watch, you know, all the NFL games, or if you could basically watch the NFL at all. But now there's this thing called Fibo TV. There's you could stream it on Yahoo. You could stream certain games on the NFL Network. You could stream certain things on Verizon. I think there's some things you could stream on Sprint, depending on what day of the week the game falls on. There's also with DirecTV, if you don't have DirecTV access, right? And let's say you live out in the country and DirecTV isn't out there, but you've got the internet, you can buy the DirecTV Sunday ticket, and you could stream it as long as you've got internet access. So there are people who are doing that. So you have people who are not necessarily watching on their TV set, but watching on their laptop, watching on their phone or tablet all over the world, right? And that is taking away from the people that are watching on CBS or ABC or watching on ESPN. And even ESPN has certain things that you could stream. So all of a sudden, there are people who aren't having to turn on a TV, and they can do it so many other ways that that is directly impacting the ratings. But listen, these streaming services and all of them, there is a reason why they are paying the NFL what they are paying. And that is the reason why the NFL's revenues are going to continue to climb through 2025. Right? And that's and like you could say, oh, well, the game isn't as popular. That is true. There are less parents because parents nowadays are ridiculous and just like, oh, I don't want my son to go out there and have contact because he might get a concussion. And if you really feel concussions are that bad,
it's ridiculous, though. I mean,
as a guy who played,
right,
played through all the levels, right, you're not going to convince me.
Okay.
You're just okay. Not. I don't want to hear the argument. I don't care how passionate you are about it. I don't fuck your data, fuck your science. I played, I experienced it. Sorry. Right? You can call me whatever you want to call me. There are impacts, there are effects, right? Like, I there's definitely issues that I have with memory and all that other shit. But to me, absolutely fucking worth it. If you don't think it was worth it, that's your choice. That's fine. I'm not going to beat you up if you don't want your kid to play football, right? Will I judge you internally? Just like,
clearly right. You will.
Like, mentally, in my own mind, which I'm allowed to do, I'll just be like, I have a little less respect for that guy.
All
right. You know, I mean, not a ton. Right, but I mean, it doesn't mean I'll never talk to him again, and I'll try to run him over if I see him in the neighborhood. But if he's a guy who says, "Oh, I don't want my son to play football because he might get a concussion," right? Like, your kid can get a concussion fucking running into a wall because he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the right prescription in, and just, you know, whatever, right? Which that actually happened to me. That's why I said that.
All
right, as a younger kid, like, I literally was racing another kid. I could not judge the distance of the wall, and I ran face first right into a wall, knocked myself completely unconscious. Parents had to take me to the hospital. So these things happen.
Story.
Yeah,
your eyesight is something you're not shy about.
My parents didn't know I was blind until I was in first grade. I literally almost got sent down. I almost had to repeat first grade, and they were going to put me in special classes for being, you know, slow to develop, because no one thought at any point in time between the time I was born until however old you are when you're in first grade, six or seven, to give me a fucking eye test. No one thought about it. So when I couldn't see things on the board and they would ask me questions and I'm just guessing, you know, throwing shit out there that I was hearing on Sesame Street because I wasn't seeing it, right? Because I wasn't allowed to sit close to the TV because everyone said it's bad for your eyes.
Right.
I'm like, all right, well, I'm just looking at a big yellow blur on the screen. You know, so I was blind. So I ran into a lot of shit when I was younger. So I guess my concussion shit started when I was much younger than everybody else. But all that to say, for me, the whole thing with football and concussions, like, you're not going to convince me.
Okay.
Yes, football is less popular. Yes, less people are watching on network TV. But I think you have even more people watching than you ever had before, because there's so many more different ways to access the game now than there ever have been before. So I don't think the drop in popularity is as steep as the people who are rallying against football want you to believe.
I completely agree with you. I do think there are things wrong with the game today in terms of replays and a bunch of other shit that I won't even get into. But if I want to put together a case to argue why you're right, you and another friend of mine came out to watch football with me and another Bills fan in a basement in a shit bar. Last week, your thought was, I've got time on my hands on a Sunday afternoon. I would rather spend it with a friend watching a game that you've had no stake in.
No, well, I think I did fantasy-wise.
Which is another point.
Right, which we didn't get to, which we'll get to in a second. But anyway, you're right, right? I mean, it's still something that
people watch.
It's very American, right? Whether that's good or bad, blah, 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 which is... You know, there's certain people who will argue about that being good, but they'll still argue the idea of nationalism being important and idealistic and everything else, which I think is hilarious. Right? A lot of your people on Breitbart, all they scream is U.S. first, nationalism, and things U.S., blah, blah, blah. Homegrown here, football, USA, whatever. So, I mean, it's weird how they you know, they cut up and divide what is important.
They detach from it when it's...
Right, and everybody does it, right? Democrats and progressive liberals, they do it all the time, right? You've got your progressive liberals, you know, talking about socialism and share the wealth and blah, blah, blah. But it's just like you've got an Apple iPhone, you're sitting at Starbucks, you know, you're wearing a hat, you know, your clothes, your entire outfit comes from H&M. Like, okay, but you hate capitalism, my ass. So I think... When it comes to football in the NFL, the other aspect of it too, where people are talking about, oh, it's not that popular, the popularity is declining. Listen, we just had a court case, you know, a Supreme Court case that came back and said that gambling is legal. Sports betting is no longer something that is in that quasi illegal world that it was now, which means that states can now basically figure out how they want to handle sports betting and sports gambling. And every state is sitting there looking at Las Vegas, and there were a few other states like North Dakota, Delaware, and a few other places where you
New can... Jersey was the big one.
Well, New Jersey is the case that brought it, but right. they didn't have legal gambling, but I think there were a total of 5 states where sports betting was legal. And they were grandfathered in before sports betting was put into that quasi-legal world that it was in before. And I actually wrote an article on this on Whiskey Congress, so you can go to that article and see kind of what I'm talking about in terms of that quasi-gray area where sports betting was. But now, states have the ability to determine the legality of sports betting. And a lot of states are instantly looking at Las Vegas, and they're looking at where sports betting was legal, and they're flipping a switch and saying, it's going to be legal here, right? New Jersey has already jumped on it and a few others. And so that in and of itself, where people aren't going to have to go to underground bookies and deal with all that anymore, they're going to be able to do it legally right in the open, just like in Europe, just like in the UK, where you can go to a sports book on a corner, place your bet, and get, like, that's going to become a thing here in the United States. Now, if you want to say that's bad for the culture because of gambling addiction and everything else, that I can definitely listen to, and I totally get it. But the reality is that because of that in and of itself, just the gambling aspect, just the legal sports betting, betting on a spread, betting on a line, you know, betting that this team is going to beat that team by this many points and they're going to score this many points and the number of points scored in a quarter and all that stuff is now on the table to do out in the open. And anybody can do it, right? If a group of girls on a bachelorette party say, ooh, let's do something fun. Ooh, let's go bet. We've never bet before. And they want to go into a sports book that is now accessible to them, and they don't have to go to some shady dude, right? Like, that's just a way that people can spend money frivolously. They can just throw money away.
Frivolously.
Right? It's just another way that people can throw money away. And that alone garners interest, because now all of a sudden, bunch of girls get together and they throw a little bit of money on the game, and now they have an interest in this game that they know nothing about or understand. Or maybe they know everything about and completely understand. Whatever. But that will generate more interest in the game.
I don't think the general public realizes how much money was spent on illegal gambling.
They don't. No one does. We don't know. I've seen estimations, and they're out of control. They're wild, right? And who knows? But people are saying that the estimations that are throwing out there are grossly underrepresent the amount of money that exchanges hands under the table in regards to sports betting, specifically on the NFL and college football.
I have seen shit.
In college basketball and the NBA.
You, but no, I think college football and pro football are the biggest ones. All right, we're over an hour.
Well, and then the last aspect too is, and I'll throw this out there, is don't forget your fantasy football, your daily football, FanDuel, DraftKings. Before all this came through with the sports betting, you know, the reason why, like, remember there was a huge big rush of advertising from DraftKings and FanDuel.
Yes, oh my gosh,
right? And then all of a sudden it died, and that's because they were getting sued left and right, and the two companies actually have merged together, so now they're only one. But now, since this ruling has come down, right, like, this will open the gates for them. FanDuel has actually opened has opened an actual sports book, I believe, in New Jersey. So they do the sports betting and everything else, but they still have the daily fantasy stuff. All of that contributes to interest, right?
Like, absolutely. I watch games because I'm stupid. I won't disregard the fact that I watch games that I just, you know, the Bills could end up in a tiebreaker with this team, so I'll watch it. But when you throw fantasy into it, and I'm that much more engaged.
Right. Like, I mean, I paid for NFL Sunday Ticket. Now, part of it is because I'm a Steeler fan that lives in Cleveland. So, but I mean, we play a lot of primetime games, but there's a lot of games that I can't see, and I want to see those. But a big reason why NFL Red Zone and being able to watch all these games and go back and figure out, you know, my quarterback is Jared Goff. I got, you know, Devontae Freeman as a running back. I got Quan Alexander as a linebacker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am watching all of these games to see if my guys are producing. I'm looking at my phone. I'm looking at the screen. I'm looking at the fucking ticker at the bottom of the screen. And I am not alone.
You and I played a league against each other where there's $5 at stake. Right. And I care.
Right, I do care, I hate it when you win, because you love to let people know when you win, so it's just like, fuck you, Jim.
And I hate when I lose. And I'm
right, I mean, and we both do, I mean, but that's all a part of it, and it's all out there. So this whole thing,
the NFL is dying, is bullshit. It's
bullshit, sorry.
All right, sorry, Breitbart, sorry, folks who can't stand people kneeling. Whatever.
Do you know the funny part is?
What's that?
Not even a thing anymore. Nobody's kneeling.
No one is. You're right. No one's kneeling. There's still people pissed about it.
There's still people who will bring it up, right? Like, I mean, I think somehow Ted Cruz is going to try to bring it up over the next month.
He needs it so bad.
Right? I mean, I don't know how much he needs. I don't think
he needs something.
He's not in trouble. The race is closer than anyone anticipated.
And this is a classic Steve argument, right? It's a close loss is still
right.
A loss.
I mean, it's been right. That seat has been uncontested for so long, like legitimately uncontested by a Democrat for so long, that the fact that it's even close, people are trying to make it seem like they're neck and neck, right? And they'll go, "Oh, the polls. What poll? You know, I mean, is it a poll put out by the Democratic National? Like, come on, guys." You know, I mean, like,
I'm not going to fight you on this because
Beto O'Rourke is much closer than I think anyone anticipated him to be at this point, which is commendable. But he is not. Listen, if I am wrong, then I will own it
and I'll be thrilled that you're wrong.
Right?
But
like, he surprised me. He came out and he surprised everyone and shocked the world. But I think ultimately he ends up winning by a respectable margin.
It'll probably be 4% or something, which, you know, is still solid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, it'll be 5%, maybe less. You know, I mean, he may have enough to where he can call for a recount, of which he'll lose. And then he'll go away. So, I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
He is a good-looking guy. I mean, he is a handsome man.
He's a handsome man with a past. You know, I mean, with an interesting past. I think he's in a band. I'm 99% sure he's in a band.
Maybe he can dress up. I know he had a Perrier bottle.
I would stay away from the Perrier bottle. But I think he did have an incident where he got a DUI when he was younger and almost hit someone. He got a DUI when he was younger, and either he got into an accident or he almost hit someone. It was a big thing, and people, you know, conservatives were just like, if this was a Republican, like, come on, guy. This whole thing where, if this were so-and-so, if this were this, then, I mean, like, that is such a bullshit argument at this point. You know, I mean, because everyone's just throwing it around. But all that to say is, I think Beto O'Rourke is running a solid race. He's going to lose, but he will use that. And he will build on it, and maybe he'll win the next time around or do something else.
He'll probably gain a spot on some, TV show or whatever it'd be.
But he's so genuine, Jim. He's so genuine and down to earth and from Texas and from the heart.
Look,
he's going to do it for the people. He won't do that. He won't do that, Jim.
You ready to shut this down?
Yeah, I am.
All right, Stephen, good talking to you as always. We are at Whiskey Congress on all social media. We are Whiskey Congress on
Instagram and Twitter, and you can find us on iTunes.
And by the way,
and Stitcher.
All the iTunes, all the Instagram stuff is your work. And so I want to give you credit for that, because I've gotten a lot of text messages saying, hey, I saw this on Instagram. And so you're doing a great job on Instagram. The studio upgrades have gotten some positive feedback. Ooh, ooh. And on that note, Stephen,
thank you.
Good talking to you as always, brother.
All right.
Out.